Today, let's talk financial advising, retirement and tax strategy. Where do you put your money? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because today will help you build your legacy with the fire on the wall.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Fly on the Wall Finance. I'm your host, Jamie Malm, and we have a special guest with us today. You'll notice that this is not Tony, who is normally with us, but I have William Nusser, who is the president and owner of Simmons & Simmons, a public accounting firm and our strategic partner. So we're really excited to have you, William. I know your time is hard to get. We happen to catch you right before the tax filing deadline. So we appreciate you taking some time. I'm sure you're still busy.
Yeah, you know, that's what's interesting. Everyone looks at April 15th as kind of the tax day, but there's so many other deadlines that we deal with throughout the year. And really, even we look at tax season, really March 1st is our second or third deadline, you know, when we get through the end of January. So yeah, Monday's the deadline, September 15th. That's a big day for people on extensions with their businesses there. And then we'll get talked over, but
Well, we appreciate you taking some time out. Today's topic, I think, is such an important one because most people, I don't think, take any time to ask themselves the question of what happens if my financial advisor and my tax professional aren't working together? What if they're not cohesive in their planning? What if they're not on the same page? That ultimately can result, one, in bad decisions, mistakes, missed opportunities, and could end up costing the consumer some opportunities, some money. So first, I want to start with why we feel so strongly about collaboration and kind of where your firm, Simmons & Simmons, comes into the mix with partnering with Iron Horse Financial.
Yeah, especially when you look at tax season, you know, that's a lot of focus for our clients in tax, and that amount is that if we get to tax season and we have a 1099 from your financial advisor and something's already happened, there's not a lot or much we can do at that point. The key is planning and knowing in advance. I mean, we had a very specific scenario this year where we were kind of going through the appointment and had some discussion. He goes, yeah, I think this is going to happen. When we started going through the 1099s, that already had happened.
Right.
And it was a six-figure tax bill. And it was something that we would have liked to have a discussion before about. And really, I mean, when we look at tax season for us, it's starting, in essence, right now. In September, October, we're finishing up some filing deadlines for last year. And once November, December hits, that's the crucial time for our business owners, individuals, and making sure where our investment's at. A lot of times we talk about tax harvesting, we look at capital gains and making sure we're looking at the capital gains aren't a scary thing, that we're aware when these transactions happen as the market fluctuates. So working with it, having that data and communication is very important. So understanding, especially, it's been really a joy to work with you guys because you're so knowledgeable on your side, that I think not only for your clients, but also our clients getting that connection, that it's so much more having those resources and professionals instead of us kind of getting into areas that maybe we don't want an advisor be in with your expertise and having us in the tax piece. It, I think, really gives an extra service to the clients.
Well, same goes for you. And, you know, the feedback that we always get when I say, hey, we've got a solution to this, if you want to have a conversation with them, I can't think of a single time when somebody hasn't come back to me and said, wow, they are super impressive. Like, they really know their stuff. That was excellent. I had no idea what I was missing out on. Because like you said, usually, at least my experience in working with tax professionals before we connected with you, even on a personal basis, is they just record what's already happened. Right. It's we're looking in the rearview mirror and now I give you my documents. They record what happens and it's too late to do anything. Well, as financial advisors, we're all about being proactive and trying to keep more of what you earn, to look ahead, to look for opportunities. And if you don't have that synergy with a tax professional, I don't necessarily I would see the big picture and know, here's some things that we need to look at, but I'm not a tax professional. And I don't know that there's any worse feeling as a consumer of being told, here's my advice, but by the way, I'm not a tax professional, so please see a tax professional for any, you know, before you carry anything out, all that little disclaimer that you think,
I should have talked to somebody. Yeah, and that's something, you know, somebody asked me a question the other day about being like self-prepared. In your world and mine, it's the idea that I expect that you're going to be able to do that part-time and be experienced on that isn't real. Like even for us, we're continuing on as we see new legislation and things come in. You got to be on the ball and working in it day to day. And that's what it helps. You know, we're sharper on it because we're in it. And we just love working with the clients. So having the communication and not having taxes, we don't have to pay or planning for things, you know, especially when you look at, I think you would see most people at retirement age today or above have a lot of deferred qualified monies, you know, So the tax piece we're trying to work around, and then also taking that experience to your younger professionals and explain to them, hey, your grandparents or parents are still paying tax and may into perpetuity because of these type of investments. So maybe we can have that so you won't have that burden into your future, because we generally operate with the expectations that taxes aren't going to necessarily get smaller, right? Like we expect the Fed or as things go that they're going to get larger. So if you operate in today's tax, maybe the better tax to pay in some instances. And if you do qualified money, is that bill may be greater than what you actually saved in your initial investments.
That's a good point. We do a lot of educational events and we talk about taxes and the power of when. It's not that you can avoid paying taxes always, but you can control when you pay them and how you pay them, which has ultimately a huge impact on the money actually in your pocket or what you're able to pass on to kids. And believe it or not, you know, when I talk to clients and I say, we're actually in like a 100-year history, low period for top tax rates, it sure doesn't feel like that probably to most people. But when you look back at, well, what were the points in time where top tax brackets spiked 60%, 70%, 90%, it's almost unfathomable, but it was when the government needed money. And so if we ask ourselves, well, is the government going to need money moving forward? We are in a debt unlike anything we've ever seen. We have probably I think everybody can probably agree taxes are not going down in the future. If they either can go down, they can stay the same, or they can go up. So we have to ask ourselves, which do I think is going to happen, and then plan accordingly. And that's where you can come in and play such a crucial role, in my opinion.
Yeah. If you look right now where we're at some of the lower rates that we've seen, and they're going to sustain here for a while. But if you look at the Fed's financial position, is that going to be where we're going to be at? So when we look at paying tax today versus into the future, especially when we talk a lot with capital gains, that scares people a lot. We're like, oh, I have a bunch of capital gains. Well, they don't realize capital gains are at favorable rates. Like they're better than income tax rates. A lot of times there's an assumption that it's in addition to income tax. Like I got to pay my capital gains tax and my income tax. Well, no, it's not that. So I just had one the other day. They're like, oh, really worried about the capital gains? We'll have to figure it out. Really, they're at the 0% federal capital gains rates. There wasn't the need to go through 1031 exchanges. Mm-hmm. Balances to save tax because there wasn't there. Now, the state of Kansas doesn't have a tax capital gain provision, but their tax rates have seen some reduction also.
That's, you just mentioned having somebody that was concerned about capital gains and was trying to think of all these loopholes. Similar situation. We had somebody that came and said, I'd like to get rid of these properties, but I don't know that now's the right time, or I don't want to reinvest them and I don't want to pay these capital gains. And you and I talked and you said, actually, as we look at it and the profit that's going to be on these and where they're at, they're probably already in a 0% capital gains. Like, I don't think there's an issue here. And most people don't think about it. Even as advisors, sometimes we don't slow down enough to say, well, wait, what is their AGI? What is their overall tax situation? Is this going to put them into a situation where they are going to pay capital gains? But the same could happen in reverse, right? Yeah, you might go to an advisor that doesn't look at all those things and say, well, yeah, absolutely, go do that. And that frees up money that we can go then invest. And then you have this surprise tax bill that nobody wants. And we never want that.
Yeah, especially there are certain times we've had scenarios to the worst tax that comes up. And generally when people are most concerned is if you don't have the money, you know. So let's say someone had taken a 401k loan in advance and then they end up treating that as a distribution. Well, that's money that you already spent. Now we owe the tax on. Those can get to be pretty sticky because they have penalties involved. So I'm just trying to communicate and understand these people. Everyone's life situation is different. Everyone's position on tax is different. So that's what we enjoy the most is the client appointments and interactions as a firm. Like, we really stress with our tax preparers that we want to make sure we're interacting with our clients in communication. And that's what we try to differentiate ourselves on. And it does take more time with the clients, but that's what's important to us. We're not here to just process paperwork.
Yep, I love that. The One Big Beautiful Bill Act. We've talked about it on this podcast before. You and I have talked about it. We get, you know, that we go down this rabbit hole sometimes of following one thing and then realize, oh, maybe that wasn't as big of a deal as I thought. And then we miss things that are like, oh gosh, that would have really benefited me, but I don't know that I really understood what my options were. Where do you think people should be paying the most attention in what we have access to, or what we kept access to through the One Big Beautiful Bill Act?
Yeah, situationally, everyone has different scenarios in their tax positions of what will or will not affect them. Because when we talk about HEI phase outs, there are certain things that you may read or see. So when we look at the overtime deductions or looking at the senior deductions, well, there are HEI phase outs too to see if that's going to be an effect for you. But the key is to be on your scenario is that making sure that you're capturing and gathering the information. I think on the individual level that you're looking at, charitable deductions have opened up more than they were before, which is important. It always was an itemized deduction, and now they're going to allow you some above the line. What we mean by that is that you're going to be able to take that deduction if you have $5 or $500, you know. So keeping track of that, some things maybe you hadn't before, so use this time of the year. It's a little easier to gather what you've done and then capture. And then when it comes into January, look for those charitable organizations to be giving you receipts. I think are going to be important. One of the probably most important provisions that people will say, well, that didn't affect me much, is the keeping of the tax code and rates where they were at. And so if we wouldn't have seen the bill go through, we would have seen a significant tax rate increase and back to kind of where we were. So we've been in this provision at the local, we talked about historical rates for almost 8 years now. So getting that continuation is very important. People won't say necessarily they see that, but they would have seen a pretty significant difference without. So bonus depreciation for business owners is back at a greater level than it was. We're back to 100% in some of those items. So that's important for people that are buying assets. If they hadn't done that, I think we're at 40% this year. So allowing to write off on that first year. So that's a significant provision to pick up that bonus depreciation back for your small business owner.
So let's go back to individuals for a second, because I have more questions on business owners. But let's go back to individuals for a second. So the itemization of deductions and charitable contributions and things that we haven't been paying attention to really since prior to 2017 for most of us, because that standard deduction was well above whatever we were going to be able to itemize. That's not the case now moving forward.
Yeah. So they're going to have, it's not going to allow the entire amount to be there, but they are allowing an above the line standard deduction for charitable. So what that allows you to do is that with the above the line, you can take it in addition to your standard deduction for your different, look at the amount real quick here, but that's going to be the Big Beautiful Bill where you can add that in addition to your standard deduction.
Yeah.
So it's up to, I believe it's 1,000 single and 2,000 married family and joint that you can take off in addition to the standard deduction. So that's pretty cool about the idea of the non-itemizers that is beginning in your tax year 2026. But it is an important kind of piece to kind of see there that we haven't had before. We're just like, oh, I don't itemize, because they do have the standard very high now. And the concept of that was it was going to simplify tax returns by having the standard deduction greater, because less people are going to have to gather less information. But one of the big things we are seeing is itemization has kind of rallied back a little bit due to two primary reasons: home prices going up and mortgage rates increasing. So mortgage interest has brought a lot of people back into itemizing, even at the $24,000,
$25,000 standard.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's kind of crazy to see some of the mortgage interest paid, but if you're in a bigger area, and you're seeing $20,000 plus in mortgage interest now. And so just that item alone and the property tax on the property is almost creating itemization. If we haven't gotten to property taxes on vehicles that have gotten to charitable giving, it's just mortgage interest today that's driving itemization.
Yep. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. I do think it's important that individuals know, hey, here are some things that I might not have been thinking about the last couple of years, that why not take them if they're available? So I love that.
Yeah.
What and about business things, owners?
Yeah. And one more thing, the individual side, that if you do work in a business that does have tips and overtime, it's going to be very interesting. You know, there's a lot of discussion that during prior to the election, and now they've got this piece in there. sometimes when things get executed by Congress, the execution of it at the actual preparation and level is interesting. So we're going to see a lot here. I mean, there's probably still, I would say, quite a bit of uncertainty about how that's going to be executed, because there's certain provisions of having 25.
The no tax on tips.
And overtime. So, yeah. But what they're doing is you have it taxable during the year, and then you're going to get a deduction up to a limitation on that. But how that's going to be recorded, and I think about a small restaurant or bar, right? And that girl's working in there. They're not a big business. It's a Buffalo Wild Wings or something. It's kind of this big corporate accounting team.
You're right. How are they going to track that?
Yeah, it's going to be important that when you get your W-2, and we're expecting the W-2 is going to have a reporting of how much of that tip pieces in there, and then also the overtime, it's going to have a line item that's going to allow you to figure the deduction. But making sure if you do work for someone like that, that you are getting that on the W-2 and that is clearly reported, because if it's not, you're going to have a difficult time justifying that deduction. And if you're in that scenario and you're self-preparing your return, you're more than likely not going to enter it in and get the deduction, because you're not going to be aware of how to enter it in.
Sure.
So that's going to be something that's going to be interesting even for our side when we look at about preparing W-2s and 1099s. We've had a lot of discussion with clients that if you've had people that you have on salary, is there some eligibility to move that person back to hourly and open up maybe $25,000 of tax-free income to them? Now, there are rules and regulations about, it's going to be a little bit of the wild, wild west. I'm concerned with it. If you're talking taxable and not taxable, people are going to be fairly aggressive in trying to figure out
how can I
turn this compensation to be non-taxable. So that's going to be a really interesting in the preparer world. And as we get through, really we're rolling into our kind of CPE time as we've seen new legislation, that there's going to be some people taking stances there. And if you're a business owner and you're, let's say, paying yourself a salary on like an S corp, do you have the ability to somehow allocate some of that money to overtime that could become tax-free? I'm guessing they're going to have provisions to not allow that, but it's going to be interesting to kind of review of how they're going to regulate. And that's a big difference, taxable and not, right? So how they're going to regulate that overtime tips to make sure that everyone's above board.
You just mentioned something there that I wanted to ask about, because we get inquiries all the time from business owners on, do I have this structured the right way? What are my options and how I have this entity structured? What are the tax implications? So I know this is a big topic beyond the scope, probably what we can handle today, but let's just say you have a small business owner and they're asking LLC, S corp, kinds of things are you looking at initially just as kind of a foundation to make that recommendation?
Yeah. So initially is where they're at in their small business journey. You know, if they're an established business that has standard recognized profits that are in a certain level to where you're going to see benefits from becoming an S corp, or if you're a new small business owner, I don't push a lot of people into the S corp initially, especially if it's going to be a side job. Let's say you're painting houses and you're a teacher, right? I'm not going to push you to an S corp because the complication that's going to provide to your life and the tax savings is going to be basically minimal, other than adding more accounting fee for us and more complication for you. So I'm very cognitive of that for our clients and understanding. Also, there's a level of bookkeeping. So we have those open conversations about, I have a guy somewhere that, hey, you're sure it shouldn't be an S corp? I'm like, this is what you'd have to do. You got to keep a balance sheet. The accountant's really like, okay, you're right. I don't want to do that. So even though there is sometimes tax savings, sometimes we have to be honest about, can we get there? And so looking at that, we regularly have some five guys that are on that plan that says, hey, we're going to look at, I have a farmer this year that he's an LLC, he wants to look at maybe becoming an S corp. This year is kind of our test year to make sure our bookkeeping is in order. That if we feel like we're in order this year, then next year, January 1st, we'll start as an S corp because we feel we're ready.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of things there that you do close some doors too when you become an S corp for the tax savings. It's not without work. So when we look at LLCs, you are allowed to be choose how you're taxed, either as an LLC, if you're a two-member of partnership, an S corp, or a C corp. You got to just have those discussions about where they're at, where their business is at. Because a lot of times, incorporating or going, that creates more complication than the client really wants. And even though there is potentially some savings, unless you're regularly in the six figures on your net profitability of your small business, those are more, I would say, not effective to be a tax saving strategy for the amount of work you got to put in.
So fair to say we're looking at, one, the complexity of it and how much paperwork and structure and reporting and bookkeeping are we able to accommodate? Two, what realistically do we think our profits are going to be? And did we have one spike for 1 year and now it's not going to be super stable, or is it pretty consistent? Would those be two of like the fundamental things that you would look at?
Yeah, and a huge provision, the only true tax savings that is significant in an S corp versus, let's say, being a sole proprietor is Social Security coverage. It's self-employment tax. So that's the income tax is going to almost pencil out exactly the same. So the only saving is Social Security. So then you got to back in that discussion of, yes, your tax bill in April is going to be less, but all of that reduction is reduction of your pay into Social Security. So if you don't believe in it, that's fine. But if you're planning that Social Security is going to be a part of your retirement, and the only savings we're getting from this is to reduce that investment, and that's what we're working with you guys and making sure and communicating with the client what their other asset and investment profiles look like, looking at what they expect their Social Security to be today. And there's a, it's way more than just, oh yeah, S corp's great, less tax, or C corp taxes this. There's so many more layers of how that can potentially impact you in upon retirement. Because ultimately, our goal is to eventually get to a point where you're not needing to work, but you may want to work and you can continue to, but financially, you're stable enough that the working provision may not have to be a part of your future into your late 60s and 70s.
You mentioned something previously. It was in relation to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act and talking about some deductions like for equipment. We have a lot of farmer, rancher, ag clients. What are some of the, I guess, strategies or things that they should be potentially paying attention to, either that you see often missed or mistakes maybe that are made in that area?
So the newest area definitely there we're seeing probably within the last 5 years that has opened up significantly is in the land acquisition. So in the property acquisition, we used to operate for years. And if you bought dry land, farm ground, no improvements, there was no deductibility to that. So now it's opened up more. There's called the excess fertility expense deduction, where you can go out and soil test the ground. If you bought ground that was higher in soil values, then you get a deduction for the amount of that is greater than the average. And it is eligible for a 1 year short term, maximum 3 year life. So it's really opened up an idea that a guy can acquire some ground now. And if it's good ground where you're having to pay a premium for that, that you can open up. I mean, some can get as big as $500 an acre worth of a deduction. So it's a significant difference in that piece that we're seeing. It's getting more known now, but still the calculation of it is pretty tricky. So you got to make sure you have a good agronomist and working through there. So when you're acquiring that ground, making sure that piece, or if you have ground that you're selling and maybe it's due to financial conditions or shortening your careers, there are some provisions there. You can look at some 1031s and those ideas to either get to other investment type properties without realizing that. Tax increase.
Okay, that's excellent. For farmers and ranchers near and dear to my heart, I come from a family of farmers and ranchers, but we also have a lot of clients that want some of that tax advice that is more specialized to our area and agriculture and land. And having your firm that is so well versed in that can, off the top of your head, just have a conversation with them about, here's some things that you might not know, or here's something that's changed, or here's something to be aware of. That's so valuable to so many people. So
and it's important. It's near and dear to our community. Obviously in Larned, we're a population of under 4,000. So Agnes is a part of our history that we're proud of, and what we go through, but it's also working through not just the tax, but right now you're working through a lot of business cash flow and family decisions because where grain prices are at, and understanding and being compassionate with your clients about how can we get you to where you need to be. And there's some things that we got to do to kind of get to those points. And maybe we got to take a little bit less tax this year that we know may impact us by taking some more depreciation than we wanted to this year. But we may have to do that sort of cash flows because I got to get my weed out of the ground. I got to get to the profitability. So we really try to look at our tax planning way more than just a tax appointment. We look at a wealth generation. How do we go through and make sure that we can get through this? And operationally, if March 1st comes and I can't handle this tax bill because I got to get my repairs, I got this payment, I got these inputs that need to come out, we may need to work on getting that tax bill lesser in this year, knowing into the future it may be greater, but that's going to allow us to get through this production year. And that's where we're at right now. I mean, it's a tough time. We look at crops and those things. So we're just trying to make sure to work with our clients to keep them around and work through the lean years. So when the strong years come, we can build back.
I think all small businesses can probably relate to the fluctuation in profits and lean years and strong years, but in the ag world, especially, I think that resonates with people because I'll sit with clients and it's not like when you work for a company and they can say, yeah, my salary is this, or yep, I know this is what I'm going to have an income for future years. For small business owners, that is such an unknown. So having the synergy between your financial advisor and your tax professional to say, okay, this year might look totally different than last year. We might need to do some different planning. We might need to look at some different things, either because we are more profitable than we expected to be, or we're going to be less profitable. So being able to plan ahead and not just record what's already happened, so important for our business owners. So we're fortunate to have your firm to give that advice for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And especially I think and the clients enjoy when I've had to ask questions like, hey, what's going on with this? Let's say they had a capital gains were strong in the market and you can give a great analysis of what's going on. And that really helps our communication with our clients when we get to that tax appointment, even after that 1099 come like, hey, you know, our taxes are up, but here's why. And you gave a great, I had some great write-ups that were multiple pages long of explaining like we harvested some gains here because we felt the market was going to drop. If we hadn't done this and executed this, yeah, your tax bill would be less, but also your rate of return on your investments would have been poor.
Right.
So understanding of that and that communication, I'm really proud of, you know, several years ago in Laundry that we were looking at and trying to realize that people are needing this service in our community. And I feel so much better instead of me trying to complicate my life more and try to get a CFP and try to learn that and not really be versed to bring in your experience to do our community. I just feel so lucky about what we can provide for our clients, not just in Laundry, but in the first and the whole really region in the area that I think us together gives people a highest level of service you're going to get, but still be able to stay in the communities that we want to be in. And I think that's what's really cool to have access to professionals of your standard.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's very kind. And, you know, we feel the same. We, and I've shared this, anybody that's met with me, you've probably heard me say this, and I know I've shared it on previous podcast episodes, but when we put a plan together for our clients, we're really looking at six threats to their financial freedom or their nest egg. We start with a risk analysis and proper asset allocation. We then look at what income is needed, and that might be income now, it might be income in the future, but income should be something that's guaranteed that you can't outlive. It shouldn't be this big question mark on, I hope I'm able to afford to exist, right? And then when we look at the income piece of it, how do we make that then as tax efficient as possible? It's so disheartening when I see people that have all this money in 401ks and IRAs, and they're putting all this money away, they're working all these years, and don't realize that they've really created this ticking tax time bomb. Yep. And when they go to pull money out without any kind of plan, we've just kicked the can down the road. We're just totally susceptible to what future tax rates are. And we've done no pre-planning. We've not even thought about, well, on paper, this looks like I have a lot of money, but what's my plan to actually get it in my pocket?
Yep.
And that's where working with a firm like yours is so valuable. So we don't leave any stone left unturned. We can look at every opportunity and really apply that specifically to each person, not just for their income while they're alive, but we're only going to do two things probably with our money. We're going to use it while we're alive, or we're going to pass it on to our heirs. Regardless of which way that goes, I assume everybody wants to do that in the most tax efficient way possible. And we don't want to just lose those hard-earned assets by paying more to Uncle Sam than we have to.
Yeah, and I think there's even some planning that, you know, we always think about trying to keep tax number there, but there's a low, but there's like a planning on a guy that retired really good. They were had their things paid off. They were kind of happy with their Social Security, but he had quite a bit of 401k balance. And I said, you know, really, we need to be taking money. And he's like, I don't need the money. I'm like, yeah, but take it, because we were able to take almost $25,000. We've been doing it for several years now per year tax-free. Because he had no taxability, because it was just Social Security. They were kind of fine, and Social Security was strong enough. They're like, well, I don't need to take it. I'm like, yeah, but you can take $25,000, get it out of the 401k into whatever other investment. You can invest it into a single account, whatever you need to be, but let's get it out of that qualified tax-free. And he had moved to a tax-free state, so at the Fed, he was paying no tax. Even though it was taxable, we were able to take, and we've been slowly taking, because the account balance was pretty strong, that we're trying to take that money each year. So if you do ever need it, we've already taken the tax treatment of it, even though the tax was zero. So that's
our win.
Yeah, it was a great win. You know, you think as a guy, and I remember the first year I kind of told him he didn't really want to do it. And then like the next year I kind of showed him, he's like, oh, you were right. Like this did work. Like, cause they're skeptical. Like, I think this is taxable. So those are the ones, the small ones you're just proud of. Like, hey, you know, if you're not there and helping them and guiding, you think, oh, this is a super simple return, or they've got that kind of dial, but guiding there on that piece, then they're stuck with this deferred asset that not only is deferred the tax there, but you're hopeful the asset is growing, right? So this deferred tax bill is getting greater because we've left the funds there, so that we've been able to move the funds slowly each year. He's not necessarily spending them. He's just moving what type of account that it is. And it's worked out really well. And that's just something that you're happy when your client gets there. I think yes. You feel like you really help people. We do charge, obviously, we're a business, so there's a fee base, but really a lot of the joy of our job is you're helping people in a situation they would really have no hope on their own because the tax code has gotten so complicated. So it's something I really do enjoy when you can get a positive result for your client and then helping their financial future. It's just rewarding for us.
Yeah, the piece of it there with, that doesn't sound right. I don't think I can do that. By opening up their eyes to, you know, here, let's look at a side-by-side comparison. We do nothing. Here's what the tax bill looks like. You make small tweaks. It's in almost all situations. You have even a decent size nest egg. You look at that over 30 years, somebody's 60 and they lived in 90. We're literally saving $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 in taxes. And usually people will look at that. I'll do a comparison and say, okay, here's where we're at. We just truck along and we do nothing. Here's what we're looking at by the time you pay taxes and required minimum distributions or your IRA withdraws or you're passing it on to your kids. They're going to owe taxes on it versus we start chipping away at this over the next 5 years. Here's the dollar amount. And they look at it and go, there's no way.
Yep.
And yep, okay, I've got the person to talk to. We'll look at, you know, what makes the most sense for you. But I agree that that's such a great feeling when you can open people's eyes to, you don't have to lose this much money in taxes. Yep. There are other ways to do it if you know the rules to play by. And I think that's what the uber wealthy have been, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but they have the people backing them to know the tax code. They're finding these loopholes and they know how to do it. And then we just have, you know, the rest of us that are like, I'm just going to have, you know, go into TurboTax or I'm going to have my accountant record what I did last year. And I just keep trucking along and don't realize I'm stepping over all these opportunities that probably were available to me had somebody brought it to my attention.
Yeah. And getting the planning point, just making sure and comfortability. And then if ever the event is your return is looked at, we're there to kind of be a backstop and comfortability of what goes on. And we do try to look at their clients way more than the idea that we're just a tax preparer for you. We look at that. That's kind of, you pay our fee to get the return preparation. Then we're there as a retainer all year to, if you got a question that's super simple and you call the office or email, we're going to answer for you. We're not going to bill you for that 7 minutes worth of time or 2 minutes worth of time or 10 minutes worth of time. It doesn't really matter. We just want to be there to help our clients. And if we have the time to do that without having to invoice it, I have no problem in that piece. I'm a bit proud of that as a firm to maintain that, that if you call, because I really, the reason we have that principle, we set that as a firm, I want for our clients is that I want you to call them. So yes. I fear that sometimes, especially on the legal side, that you get that invoice and it has the phone call or the email they sent to you and they billed you for it. And you're like, man, maybe, am I going to email them?
I should have Googled that.
Yeah. So, and we don't want that. You know, I'd rather it take 2 seconds for a client to text or call me or email for me to get back to you, use our knowledge base. It doesn't cost me anything. I'd rather use my time to help you and want you to ask those questions. So that's why as a firm, we have that practice, because if you don't ask that question, you're coming in January and I don't want to have any regrets. I mean, I would have told you this if you would have called me, but that's why we don't bill for that time. That really is kind of a strategy, just to make sure that our clients feel comfortable calling in and our access to them. So
that's such an important factor that I forget to mention to people, because I've been so spoiled personally with having Simmons and Simmons as our personal accountant. That's actually how we started, was we were referred to you because we're small business owners. And I kept saying, there's got to be somebody out there that does what I'm looking for. And so we were referred to you, and just naturally then as I got asked my business, hey, I need some help here, I've got somebody for you to talk to. I didn't realize that a lot of other firms were billing their clients for questions, emails, phone calls. I had, which you'll probably remember, one of the first clients that I referred to you, he said you know, I'm just getting hammered on. I'll call in and I get a bill for, you know, $100 for that email. I said, my goodness, that's like contacting a lawyer, right? Every time you email them, you get an invoice for $100. And I turned my phone over and I said, here's my text string with William.
Yeah.
Like, I am firing off texts every time I have a question or I'm calling the office. And I felt bad for a minute. I thought, oh, gosh, I might be really taking advantage of the relationship here. And you said, no, that's absolutely what we want. We do it for everybody. And that has been such an important aspect of making people feel like I've really got a partner here and I know what my plan is moving forward.
Yeah, there's nothing happier for me as a small business owner too, that I want to see your business be successful and go through. I want to see my clients, I want to see the farm. I want them to see, I always joke with my guys, I want you to owe $1 million because you had a great year, you know? Yeah. And so we want to work to make whatever it is, if you're small business, if you're an individual, if you're in retirement, that you're successful, whatever that is, and everyone's picture is different. That's why the appointments are really important. Where are you at in your life? What are you planning? Are you, yeah, great grandkids you want to leave money to, maybe you don't want to, and working through in those different planning strategies, we'll look to estates and trusts. And that's what I'm really proud of as a firm, that we really challenge ourselves to be general practitioners, that we, from an individual to an estate, a trust, all the way through end of life, we can be there to help you. And it's just really fun to be able to help and legacy, whatever it needs that your goals are. That's where the communication is important, because everyone's thought process is different as they go through. So that's what's been really great, kind of going through just the naturalness as our firm's relationships have grown together. It just has worked so much better with the synergy and it's coming in. Having you come over to Larned now, meeting with our clients and our clients coming back and forth, I mean, it's been great for expansion of what our services we can provide and bring in a group and a whole team that's expertise, but also allowing us to expand in a new market without having to build a building. We both know in the last year we've moved to different places with our offices. It's not a cheap thing to do. So being able to have two locations without having both investments into each other to some extent, having our space for you and your space for us is so great. And it's just really been organic and natural. And some people ask to kind of go through. It's been a great relationship.
Yeah, I agree. It's nice to have, you know, for our clients when they say, well, yeah, I'd like to meet with William, where's he at? And I say, Larned, but don't worry, he's in our McPherson office about once a month, or, you know, you can work via Zoom. So you're very accessible, which we love. Final thoughts here for anybody that's thinking, gosh, I maybe need to have a conversation here. You're open to meeting with people that aren't even sure if you can help them yet, right? I mean, it's the same structure that we have in, I'm not going to charge you for an initial consultation when I don't even know if I can help you. You have the same type of mindset.
Yeah, you want to meet with people, and it's got to be a fit for both ways. You know, the way that people have different mindsets as a firm, we're our agents and we are regulated by the IRS. We want to make sure that we're meeting those rules and regulations and communication, you know. So if a client comes in and says, oh, my prior accounts do this, we want to make sure we create those dynamics to be successful in our relationship as both sides, you know. And I can do the work and we'll be ready and be for that time, but it has to be there executed. So we want to meet and see what their needs are and what their expectations are. And sometimes it works for new clients, which is great. Sometimes it doesn't, but it's okay. Even if I can help someone there and they have just a one-time question and maybe they're going to go back and self-prepare, I'm okay with that. I mean, especially if we can work around the time and they're willing to kind of schedule an appointment and find that time and work into a schedule that it's not. Now, if it's during tax season, yeah, we're going to be focused primarily on our clients or new client appointments. And once we get to the off season, outside of being at the racetrack, we try to be as successful as possible.
Yeah, to get that racing in there. So fun fact, William is, well, two fun facts. Yeah. The mayor of Larned, which is interesting.
10 years now.
10 years, the mayor of Larned, but also a dirt track modified? Is it modified?
Yeah, cars modified, that you race? Late model,
Okay, which... it is such a, I think, counterintuitive. We think about tax accountants, right? Yeah. It's like, wait, he does dirt track racing. So you're a well-rounded guy, William. You're
well, it's great. When you're working it hard in the office all day, there's no better place for me than people like horses or animals. And for me, it's being in the shop. You know, I like to get home. And when if you see me on the weekends, more likely my hands are covered in grease. They're beat up. I'm going to the Big R or the auto parts store to get something. I love working on cars. And I'm a car guy at core. But every night we roll it rolled our race car a couple weeks ago, so we've been building a new car in the last 10 days. Hopefully Salina will be there Saturday night. It's just a lot of fun. I enjoy it. That's
love
what
it.
Keeps my mind free. And we sit a lot during the day. It's nice to kind of stand and get.
That's good. Right. Got to get out there and do some fun stuff. Yes. Yep. Not, we don't want it to be all work and no play. Well, yep. Thank you everybody for joining us. I hope the episode has been beneficial. William, we're definitely going to have you back because you are a wealth of knowledge on such an important aspect of what we do. And I want to be able to bring more of that to our listeners. If you are a client or you're thinking about talking to either ourselves about investment planning, or you think, nope, I just really need the tax piece of it. Either way, we want to be there for you, and you're welcome to reach out to our office, which is 620-377-6456. Excuse me. They can also go to your website, William, which is Simmons & Simmons. Am I remembering that?
Yeah.
Simmons & Simmons Inc. Okay. Simmons & Simmons Inc.com, or then our office, and we can connect you with William and let you know when he's going to be in the McPherson area next. And that's IronHorseFinancialServices.com.
Yeah. And same thing for us. If you're in the Larned area, and even if you're not a client of Simmons & Simmons, but you're looking for some financial advice, we host clients there regularly that are not our clients, with Jamie and Brad, when they come over. And it's great to kind of have that resource and access back and forth. And so we just want to make sure people have access to help their financial futures with experts that are focused on them and client service. And that was kind of the fun part when we first started kind of talking how this would work and what our expectations for clients, and that we closely aligned, really, really, really helped.
Regardless of what they need.
Yep.
Yeah, somebody that can help. I love it. Well, thank you, William, for joining. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will see you next week. Fly on the Wall Finance. That wraps up another episode of the Fly on the Wall podcast. Join us next time as we continue the conversations and bringing you behind the scenes in the world of finance. And don't forget to stay connected with us on your favorite social media platforms and subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And we will see you next time.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Iron Horse Financial Services and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Iron Horse Financial Services makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. This commercial shall in no way be construed as a solicitation to sell securities or advisory services to residents of any other state other than Kansas or otherwise permitted. Topics should be discussed with your financial advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Iron Horse Financial Services, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Iron Horse Retirement, an affiliated company. Iron Horse Financial Services and Iron Horse Retirement are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.